Good morning, Keystone Church. Surprise, Josh isn't here. It's me this morning. I'm just as surprised as you are. I found out late Thursday night that Josh needed me to step in this morning. So be praying for him as he and his family. He was asked, he had to help a friend in need, a pastor friend for an emergency. He was asked to step in to preach, and then they ended up doing something different. And so he just, since we already had this worked out, he just needed some time away. So be praying for him and pray for me, because I went to work all day Friday, had to stay over, stay late. I didn't get home until about 7:30. So pray for me this morning. All right. So thankful that you guys are here. If you got your Bibles, we're going to continue in our series in Galatians. So turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to continue our study through this book. And, you know, as I was thinking through this, the older I get, the more I realize that a lot of my life's values are based on certain movies, such as the Rocky movies, right? Rocky movies were great, even though they made a ton of them. I'm sure there are other movies that assisted with that. But for me, it was Rocky. I'm not sure how much you guys love it, but I loved Rocky, especially Rocky III. If you don't know, Rocky III, this is where Rocky had just won the title, where he had just defeated Apollo Creed, and then it starts out and shows that he's living a lavish lifestyle. And then a new contender steps in, Clubber Lang, played by Mr. T, who was a terrible actor. However, he was specifically made for that particular part. It fit him perfectly. And so the movie starts out by showing Clubber Lang, his intense training compared to Rocky's wine and cheese lifestyle. And then when they meet, Clubber pulverizes Rocky. Rocky's trainer dies, and then the rest of the movie is about Rocky training hard. She's actually trained by Apollo. He does his one-arm push-ups that he's famous for. He actually develops a swag and some rhythm since Apollo's training him, and of course he comes back and wins and defeats Clubber. We used to quote the movie all the time. I love the last fight when they go up and Clubber looks at him and says, I had already told him, I'm going to beat you like I did last time. And he said, yeah, I'm going to win again. And Rocky looks at him and says, go for it. So that's something we used to quote all the time. Love it. But what in the world does that have to do with Galatians? Well, it actually shows us what you sow, you will reap. What you reap is from what you sowed. And we can see from when Rocky didn't train very hard, he reaped what he sowed and he lost. And when he did train hard, it actually paid off. So if you got your Bibles in Galatians chapter 6, we're going to pick up exactly where Pastor Josh left off last week and be in verses 6 through 10. Let's read. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, I need your touch. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to the preaching and teaching of your word. And that, Father, you would speak through me. Take my inadequacies, Lord, my inefficiencies, Lord. And that, Father, that we would just simply hear and see from you. We thank you, Lord, for today. In Christ's name, amen. So verse 6, we're going to actually go through this verse by verse. So verse 6, we see, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Now, a lot of theologians look at this and they think that it's kind of weird that this phrase or this sentence is in here, because it's right after what we learned about last week, bearing one another's burdens, and then Paul goes into talking about sowing and reaping. So why all of a sudden this verse? Well, a lot of theologians also think that this passage, this section of verses, is talking about money. When it talks about taking care of the one who teaches, they think it's talking about taking care of them financially. And then right after that, he's talking about sowing and reaping, which a lot of people equate that and look at that as far as financially. I do not. I think this is talking about so much more than money. This is actually talking about our lives. I think it is talking about everything in our lives, the way we live, the way we act, the way things that we do. It's talking about our sin as well as our righteousness, and what we sow into is what we will reap. So how does this verse, what does this have to do? Well, it's telling us how to take care of those who teach the word, taking care of your pastor and those on staff. How do we do that? First, by praying for him and by praying for his family. Charles Spurgeon attributed much of his success to the prayers of Christ's people for him. The New Testament actually records 8 distinct times that the Apostle Paul asked fellow believers to pray for him. Josh, others, myself, we need prayer. 2, by encouraging through attending. When you guys aren't here, it's not encouraging. When you guys are here, it is so encouraging. When you are here and you invite others, it is so encouraging. It's hard to talk when the room is empty. So when you're here, it is a huge encouragement. Even last week after the service, we had a meeting to discuss our plan for as Aaron has transitioned on. And through that, there was a question I asked, and Josh's response was, you know, since COVID or post-COVID, attendance has really changed. That there are, and we as a nation, really, we have returned to everything, but for some reason, there are those who still do not make church a priority, and so they still pick and choose if they want to come to church or not. And 3, we not only pray for them, not only encouraging them by attending, but also paying them and paying them rightly. So this is something that Paul is also reminding those who teach the word. He's basically reminding us that it is a responsibility for us to teach the word and teach the word rightly, and rightly so. If you want to talk about a heavy and a difficult responsibility, it is preaching and teaching God's word. When I'm done teaching the students, when I'm done preaching as this morning, I go home and I'm wiped. I'm tired. Some people just don't understand the burden and the heaviness of proclaiming God's word. Understand, it is an honor. It is a privilege to do so. And Paul is basically saying, do not take it lightly. It is a heavy responsibility, and we should follow through in the right way. So, we've dealt with verse 6. Let's move on to the next verses. Verse 7 and 8, let's read those. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, to his sin, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, at first, I read this, I thought this was kind of contradicting to what Paul has been teaching us throughout Galatians. Throughout Galatians, he's been explaining to us about the importance of the gospel and that we should put our roots and dive, our focus should be on the gospel. And that is something that we did not earn, we did not deserve. That is what was given to us and is what Christ earned in our place. And all of a sudden, now Paul goes and it sounds like he's kind of talking about the principle of karma. When you do good to someone, it's going to come back to you. And it almost sounds like he's saying, so do good karma so you can reach good karma later on. But actually, that's the wrong way to read it. Paul is simply reminding us of something that we all know to be true. This is simply true in life. God has stated this in his word many times. What you sow, you reap. I like the way Andy Stanley explains this. Listen to this. Is this not on here? Guess not. All right, so just listen to what Andy had to say about it. Paul says what we really all know intuitively, life is connected. Where you are today is a result of decisions you made in the past. Where you will be tomorrow is connected to what you do today and what you did yesterday. There is a relationship between your current irresponsibility and what you can expect in the days and the weeks and months to come. We must realize what Paul doesn't say here. He doesn't say people reap what they sow unless they ask for forgiveness. See, forgiveness doesn't erase what you've sown. And he said that I run into this all the time as a pastor. Someone comes to me and says, Andy, I'm doing my best. And I have to say, I'm glad you're doing your best now, but for 5 years you didn't do your best. That's what you're sowing. Now you're reaping from those years, and you're doing your best now doesn't erase all the sowing that you did then. You see, there is a distinct difference between forgiveness of sin and consequences of sin. You can get forgiveness for sin, but you cannot undo what it is, whatever it is you've already done. Even when God forgives you, your actions have consequences. The greatest example of this in our church is what Pastor Tim does as he runs a nonprofit with CLI, with Prison Alliance. They reach thousands upon thousands of inmates each and every year, and thousands of inmates come to know Christ, and it is wonderful, and I know it's exciting, and I know he can share all kinds of stories of how God has moved and God has worked in the prisons. But when they accepted Christ and they accepted his free gift of salvation, they became a new creation. It did not mean that all of a sudden they were released. It did not mean that all of a sudden they didn't have to finish their prison sentence. It didn't mean that their circumstances changed. Why? They were forgiven. They're a new creation. That's wonderful. But they still have to reap what they sowed. Tim Keller puts it this way. He goes as far as to say, this is an absolute principle in Scripture. He says this is what actually underlines the entire book of Proverbs. There are at least 66 places in the Bible where this principle is stated about reaping what you sow. In Proverbs 26:27, it says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. Proverbs 11:18 says, the wicked person earns an empty wage. This empty wage is talking about if you exploit someone or you earn money the wrong way. It says but the one who sows righteousness reaps a lasting reward. This also applies to parenting. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is not a promise, but a principle. You sow righteousness into your child, and this is what you will harvest. Now understand, I have kids. My kids are older now, and I know what some of you are thinking. Well, when they were little, I really sowed righteousness into them. And then they hit a toddler age, and the demon came out, and the devil was just showing. And then they kind of reach an age to where it kind of mellows out a little bit, and things seem to be good. And then all of a sudden, they hit the teenage years. And that devil returns with a vengeance. So I understand, I get it, but I promise you, I have seen it in my kids' lives, and I hope to still continue to see it in my kids' lives, that what we sow into them, the righteousness, we will reap. Paul just got finished telling us in Galatians chapter 5, previous chapter, in 16 and 17, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. He's saying if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap in the Spirit. In other words, what we put into our minds will come out in our speech. The things that you listen to, the things that you watch, the things that you read, right or wrong, you're looking at the right things or the wrong things, it's going to come out in the way you talk. Not only that, what we do with our habits, our daily habits, they come out in our actions. When you participate in a sin, your appetite for that sin grows. You develop a harvest and a greater craving for it. You see, whenever you sin, the root of that sin gets a little deeper and harder to pull up. Have you ever tried to pull up weeds? You cannot just take off the top of the weed. You've got to actually pull out the whole root or the weed's going to return. Those of you who have gardens, landscape, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what happens with sin. You can get forgiveness for it, but when you commit the sin, your appetite for that sin grows. You know how an appetite works. An appetite doesn't go away when you feel it. Have you ever gone to a restaurant? eaten, and when you're done, you are so full, you're like, I'm never going to eat again, right? I mean, you had the blooming onion, you had the cheese fries, you had your meal, you followed up with a molten. Yes, praise the Lord, a molten is it's a wonderful thing. But when you're done, you're like, I'm never going to eat that ever again. And what happens? About 4 hours later, you're looking in your pantry for some chips and cookies. When you feed an appetite, it doesn't satisfy it, it grows. When you feed sin, it grows. Think pornography. Sadly, under the sound of my voice this morning, there are men and potentially ladies who sadly are addicted to pornography. It is something rampant in our age and day in our society. It is a sin. And what happens is you create and develop an appetite for it, and it grows, and then it leads to what? Righteousness? To godliness? No, it leads to deeper, greater sin. Sin works like that. Even with lying, there are some people who have had a sin of lying to where they don't even realize they're doing it anymore, and they believe their own lies. It happens with materialism, with selfishness, with pride. But don't fear. Righteousness works this way too. When you feed righteousness, you develop more of an appetite for it, and it becomes a part of you. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Understand, we are not talking about just money or finances. We are talking about your life. What are you sowing? Are you sowing righteousness, or are you sowing into sin? Because whatever you sow, you will reap. Some people think that this isn't fair because they're going through a really difficult time. And they're like, wait a minute, I've been doing good. Well, that's great that you're doing good now, but what you're thinking is a punishment isn't a punishment. It's a harvest. You're actually harvesting, reaping what you sown previously. Does that make sense? So we're going to talk about biblical farming 101. I grew up in STEM, so I know a little bit about farming, not a whole lot. How many of you worked on a farm before? A few of you? Yeah, if you worked on a farm, you know what work is. If you have not, you need to go work on a farm. Just try it one day. I did it one day. Back then, we had tobacco fields everywhere, and I went and helped a friend work in the tobacco field. Sure did. One day. After that day, I was like, I'll never do it again. You got sweaty and dirty and sticky and nasty, and I was like, yep, this isn't for me. But if you've never done it, I want to encourage you to do farming. You see, as Paul was talking, many people understood what he was talking about with the reaping and sowing. They understood that sowing is when you're planting seed, and reaping is the harvest you get afterwards. So we're going to look at five principles. Yes, that was just the introduction. Don't worry, these principles won't take long. We've got five principles. Principle number one, obviously, you only reap what you sow. You only reap what you sow. Again, if you sow sins, you reap that. If you sow righteousness, you reap that. Well, what are you talking about sowing, Jeff? What about your time? How many of you spend time in God's Word? How many of you, what time do you give to God each and every day? I've had people tell me, well, Jeff, you know, I really struggle because I really don't understand God's Word, and it's really difficult to read. And yes, it can be. But how can you know God, understand God, if you never spend time with God and in God's Word? What do you do with your time? I understand busyness. I talked about how late I got home Friday night from work after working all week and then studying and preparing. I understand. Working two jobs, I understand busyness. This week, many of us will be involved in VBS. So yes, you will work all day and come here and work at VBS. And you know what? You'll go home tired, but you'll go home so much better because of serving and giving to others. Do you invest your life in the church by volunteering within a ministry? We have ministries here and we have needs. Do you volunteer? Are you a giver or are you a taker? What about talents? Not only your time, but what about your talents? Each of us were given gifts, and those gifts were given to be used for God's glory and for his kingdom. We also mentioned this last week, where many people recently have stepped up to help out and serve in many different ways, which is great. My question is, are you? Are you serving? Are you working? Are you volunteering in some way, in some kind of ministry? Are you using your talents? Again, you're going to reap what you sow. Money. Pastor Josh preached on money and giving back in January. And during that sermon, toward the end, I want to say, and I don't remember all the details, but I want to say he described we as a church are giving, and how there was a group that gave over $1,000 a month. There was another group that gave between $600 and $1,000 a month. There was another group that gave, I don't know, $100 to $200 to $500, something like that, some type of range. But then he mentioned that there was a percentage, a group that gave nothing at all. Sadly, in America, we right now as a nation, the evangelical Christian that we are labeled, give less percentage-wise than what they did in the Great Depression. Isn't that sad? We, as a church body, understand, God does not need your money. He does not need your time or your talents. He has given all of that to you. What this all comes down to is your heart. What do you have a heart for? Do you have a heart to give back to God what he's blessed you with? And that goes with time, talents, as well as finances. What about kindness? When you are kind to someone, typically, that kindness is returned to you. You ever paid it forward in a drive-thru? You pay it forward, you pay for someone behind you, and then that kind of leads on and goes. Kindness works that way. You ever smile at someone? When you smile at someone, typically, some people frown. Some people need to turn that frown upside down. But typically when you smile at someone, yeah, they're going to smile back. When you say good morning, what normally happens? Hey, good morning. Kindness works that way. Men, if you're loving, respectful, and kind to your wife, more than likely she's going to be loving, respectful, and kind back to you. If you are hateful, argumentative, you reap what you sow. What's she going to do in return? If you are hateful to her, how do you think she's going to respond to her, to you? You think she's going to be hateful back? Probably that and more so, right, ladies? Amen, right? So men, treat your ladies right, and then you'll be treated right, and you won't wonder, what in the world did you do? You reap what you sow. Principle number two, the reap happens after you sow. This is the hard part of harvesting. It takes time to see your efforts pay off. I myself struggle with this. We live in a society, in a culture, to where we want immediate gratification. I want to eat the salad or skip the dessert and go to the mirror and think, oh yes, it worked. I want to do 20 or 25 push-ups and go and say, look at that Greek god in the mirror. It doesn't work that way. I wish it did. But it takes time, and it takes time to reap the harvest. This is more, even more true when you think about it agriculturally, right? You sow the seed in one season, and you don't see the return for almost a year. Back in the 1930s, the Midwest farmers faced an excruciating choice. Many had moved out that way in the 20s because the ground was so fertile and the harvest was plentiful. But in 1931, the rain stopped, and they endured one of the worst droughts recorded in history. By 1940, many were on the verge of bankruptcy. The ones who had stayed, at least, many had already left. It looked like the drought was starting to end, but no one could be sure. And here was the dilemma with planting. If they planted that season, it meant using at least a month's salary into the ground. And if it didn't rain, all was lost. But if it did, all could be gained. And even what they had to plant. That's really what they had to feed their family that year. So they had a dilemma to face whether or not they should hold on to these precious seeds or use them up for food or to plant and hope for a harvest. Those that planted in faith were rewarded that year because the rains were abundant. This is why many people give up on doing the right thing, because it takes time to harvest. It takes time to see that, sometimes weeks, months, even years. Sowing is all about the future, which is why Paul says in verse 7, do not be deceived, because the fact is that harvest comes later. It makes it an easy principle to forget. The greatest practical joke I ever heard, do not do this, I'm not encouraging this, was what happens in the fall? In the fall, how many of you aerate and seed your lawns, right? Many of you do that. Some of you don't because you don't care. But those who do care, you aerate and seed your lawns in the fall, right? There are some guys, it was not me, they took some seeds, some different seeds, watermelon seeds, pumpkin seeds, different stuff, corn stalks, I don't know. They took these different seeds and they just kind of threw them in people's yards. The bad part about the joke was they couldn't see anything right away. They had to wait. But 6 months later, it was priceless. There were people that had lawns with watermelon that popped up and pumpkins and stuff that popped up. One of the greatest practical jokes I've ever heard. Again, I am not encouraging you to do that, but it's just an example of it takes time. Principle number 3, you always reap more than you sow. You not only reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. When you plant, you always reap more. When you plant an apple seed, what do you get? What do you get when you plant an apple seed? An apple tree. Thank you. An apple tree. You don't just get one apple back. You get a whole tree full. You always reap more than you sow. It's the same way in life, not just with planting. It's a process of multiplication that you will reap more than you sow. One of the clearest pictures of multiplication in the Bible is John chapter 6, where Christ feeds the 5,000. In those days, they counted 5,000. But really, they counted men, which was 5,000. When you actually add women and children, it was 15,000 to 20,000. Some argue about it. Either way, it was a ton of people. They didn't have any food, and they brought this little boy's lunch up. He had five loaves and two fish. He had a Hebrew Happy Meal, a Levitical Lunchable. They brought up this little lunch to feed all these people, and God prayed over it. He blessed it, and then he passed it out to the disciples, and as they gave it out, God's word says that all those people were filled. They were full, and they even had 12 baskets left over. You see, it cannot be multiplied until it's put in Jesus' hands. When you give your time, your talents, your finances, he's not going to come to you and take it. He is waiting for you to place it in his hands. And like that little boy, it was his lunch. It was his food. He didn't say, here, you take part, let me keep the other. He gave it and gave it all and did so willingly. Are you willing to do the same? In Proverbs 3:10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing, and your vats will brim over with all the new wine. And that's not really new wine. It's really non-alcoholic Welch is grape juice. But anyway, some people, when they are going through difficult times and they hear, well, you're going to reap more than you sow, they think, well, that's just not fair. And again, they have to understand that they're not being punished. They are reaping what they sow, and they are reaping the harvest. Sadly, Mandy and I have talked several times. We have friends that we've been in church with for years that I taught Sunday school with, I taught connect groups with. And looking back over many of those marriages, many of them are divorced. Why? Because one of the individuals in the relationship got into sin. And that led into a greater sin. Some of those marriages were able to reconcile and remain, but many ended in divorce, and it's just very sad. They've asked for forgiveness. They were sorry. They admitted they were wrong, but they still had to pay the consequences. Why? Because you reap what you sow. It's also true what we do with our kids. As I mentioned previously, the old school pro baseball player turned evangelist Billy Sunday used to say, for every one lap you take around the doubles track, your kid will take seven. If you raise them around compromise, it will magnify in the lives of your children. I have talked with many Christian parents over the years who were surprised when their kids went off to college, walked away from the faith. They said, but we raised them in church. Yes, but after further discussion and inventory, it was realized that church and their walk with God wasn't that important. They came to church sporadically. They didn't volunteer. They weren't in a connect group. They didn't do missions together. They didn't read the Bible or pray together. They weren't involved in student ministry. They frequently missed church for sports events or other events. They often went to the beach or the lake on weekends. They raised them around God, but with God as a second-tier priority, and that multiplied in their child's life. So when they went to college and it got difficult, they obviously left the faith. What was sown by their parents in their childhood multiplied as an adult. This not only works negatively, but also works positively. In Matthew 19:29, Jesus said this, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive what? They will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. They will receive 100 times as much and eternal life. He's saying if you give up something for the glory of God eternally, you will reap way more than what you gave. In fact, Jesus told a parable in Matthew 13 of a sower who sowed seed, and he sowed it on some ground and he received 30% more of a harvest. Other ground that was more fertile, he received 50% more. And then even the best soil, he received 100% more. You reap what you sow. It was one year that my family and I, we went on a missions trip. We weren't able to go on a vacation that year. That was our vacation. And we did yard sales and all sorts of things that year to prepare for all of us to go. It was not long right before we were able to adopt Jordan. Tyler and Carson were little. And many times we talk about vacations and different trips, but we many times talk about that trip and how God worked and moved in that mission trip than we do necessarily Disney or one of the other vacations we've taken other years. What are you doing with your kids, and are you sowing righteousness? Principle number 4, we only reap if we persevere. Why? Because harvesting takes time. Others give up. That's why Paul says in verse 9, let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. You get to the harvest. To get to the harvest, you have to persist to the end. You think about Peter when he walked on water, when he stepped out on such great faith. He was standing and walking on water with Jesus. And then he took his eyes off Christ, and his faith fell, and he fell. And Christ had to reach and pull him up. If his faith had remained, he could have persisted and walked all the way to Christ. For us to see the harvest, you've got to persist. When I think of this, I think of Jack and Vivian. For many years, they were here at Parkview. They prayed for this harvest. They prayed to hear kids in the church service and to hear babies cry because they didn't have that. They persisted and didn't give up. And look how God has blessed. I also think about just a few weeks ago. I was called away to work and was out of town and could not be here. But we had a couple parents and Jack and Vivian, some other leaders and adults who helped with the yard sale. And thank you so much for all that you did and donated for that. But on that particular weekend, they came and worked Friday night and stayed till late to prepare and organize and price and everything to get ready for the yard sale. They came back early Saturday morning, stayed until late to do the yard sale and then donate what was remaining. And then on that Sunday, if you guys remember, after church that afternoon, there was a event that we were involved with a different church that was doing a community event. Everyone else went home tired. I mean, if you've ever worked a yard sale, it's a lot of work. What did they do that same weekend after working Friday night, Saturday? That Sunday afternoon, they went and served. The next Sunday, when I was back in town from work and I was talking to them, I really was expecting to hear how tired they were, how much of a long weekend it was. But no, they were telling me how great that event was. Like, really? If you persevere, you will see a harvest. And principle number five, you cannot do anything about this year, but we can change next year. You can't do anything about what you are reaping today. You can't change it. Even if you pray about it, if you ask for forgiveness, even if you're going through a difficult time right now because of things that you've sown previously, we can't change that. But we can change next year. It's time to start sowing different seeds so you can reap a different harvest. Do you trust God, the harvest giver, enough to sow in obedience? Or will you sow in materialism or things of the flesh? Paul says in Galatians 5, the chapter right before, that if you sow in sin, you will reap immorality. You will reap, and he names and lists envy, all these different things that he lists because people are sowing that way. But if you sow in righteousness, right after that, he lists the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. He lists those things. If you invest and sow in righteousness, you will reap righteousness. Think of D.L. Moody in these words. The world has yet to see what God can do through one man. I wonder if we had a church full of people who were giving everything back to God, their time, their talents, their finances, what could we do in this city? We wouldn't have to worry about the situation of our city or our world or our society. We can make such a lasting, eternal change and difference if we sow in obedience. Here's the deal. When you give, your heart is right. I have never, ever in my life heard of a great keeping story. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of a great emotional keeping story where someone would say, oh, we were thinking about blessing someone, but oh, I thank God we kept it for ourselves. We were praying about being involved in church and being involved in the kids' ministry, but oh, I thank God we shut down that temptation off and we kept to ourselves and didn't do that. We saw a family that was in need and we were considering helping them out, but oh, hallelujah, we overcame that horrible temptation and we decided to make sure we kept that money for ourselves. I have never, ever heard that kind of story. But I have heard story after story of those who gave time, who gave talents, who gave money, and how God blessed and multiplied, and they reaped a harvest. Yes, they did it much better than I could say it, because they gave. What I keep is all I have. What I give, God multiplies. What I keep is all I have. What I give, God multiplies. There was one year for Christmas. We as a family, and this is Mandy's side of the family, as we would get together for the holidays, we would buy gifts. And as the family grew and it became more expensive, we drew names. And then we got away from that and we only gave gifts to the kids. And then we kind of drew names with the kids. And finally, we realized that, hey, we just need to get together. We enjoy getting together. We don't need to worry about gifts. So for one year, we decided to give Christmas to a needy family. And so we understood and explained to our kids that, hey, when we meet at Momo's this year, we're not doing any presents. Your Christmas that you would have gotten is being given to this needy family. And so each of our families took a family own, a different child, and the parent in that family. It was a single mom with three kids, I think. And so for Christmas Eve, we went and took food and snacks and stuff and gave them all the presents that we had bought for their kids and put them up under the tree so they could experience a Christmas. The next day, as we met together as a family, we just talked and shared about how wonderful it was. In fact, that night when we left, Tyler and Carson came running into the car, and I was waiting to hear some whining, and they were like, "Mom, Dad, can we do this again next year?" Why? Because we gave. And Christ says it is, you are so much more blessed to give than to receive. Guys, what are you sowing? Because what you sow, you will reap. Remember, all that you have, you keep. What you give, God multiplies. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening today. If you're listening for the first time, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a question about the gospel of Jesus. If so, we'd like you to send us an email at hello@keystonerdu.church. If you're a regular listener to our podcast and you would like to donate to the media and outreach ministries at Keystone, your gift would allow us to do more in an effective way to get the gospel out. Thank you for partnering with us in ministry in Durham and around the world.